Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with people's sexiest man alive, the Princess Switch, switched again. And why the heck Taylor Lautner isn't in the new Shark Boy and Lava Girl movie?
You just can tell you, Amelia wrote that question.
That's a uniquely Tea Time intro right there. That's just our whole brand.
Yeah. Speaking of the brand, follow us on social media, please. It's the brain of Amelia Wedemeyer, which we all need more of in our lives. On Twitter, we're at teatime_33. And then on Instagram, we're at teatimepod. All right, before we get into the show, let's take a quick break. Okay, super fun category to start with. I'm really excited. Tea Time is checking in with People's Sexiest Man Alive, which was announced last night, two nights ago, sometime this week. We made a lot of predictions because I falsely told my co-host that this was being announced next week. So we're going to talk about who we thought was going to be the sexiest man alive and then go through some of people's choices because, you know, they don't just name one. They bring out a bunch of categories. The people vote. So let's go through it. First off, Kate, do you want to give a congrats to the real winner?
I do. Sexiest Man Alive 2020 is none other than Michael B. Jordan. Ooh. And just an objectively correct choice, first of all. Just right off the bat, I have to say, Liz and I both went through stints where we were Bill's assistant. I currently am, which meant that we brought his guests in whenever he would have celebrity guests on his podcast. And I cannot remember a male guest that made as much of a flurry among the Ringer women when he came onto the lot as Michael B. Jordan. There were people, I won't name names, but Jordan Liggins was sitting outside hoping to catch us. She was like casually working outside one day. I was like, weird choice. People were like stationed across the lot to see him when he came in. It was a big deal.
I can think of two instances where there's been a BS podcast guest that I have like made like rounds past Bill's office just to walk by, see what's up. Michael B. Jordan was one of them. I actually was surprised. I'm shocked that he has not been named this in the past. This is such an easy choice. Like, it's easy in the best way. Like, he is the people's sexiest man that I cannot believe this hasn't happened yet.
I agree. This was my thing. I was surprised about this choice because it just kind of seemed too obvious to where, like, you're right, he should have won it before. And I kind of thought if he hadn't won it before, then, like, he just wasn't quite what they were looking for, which is wrong. And also, I was like, what has he done this year? Because usually when they pick these things, it's someone who has really been in the news, who has had some huge project. You know, it was The Rock. It was Blake Shelton when he was like The Voice. You know, it was John Legend. And it's usually like tied to someone who's just been in the news a ton and had a really big year. Mm-hmm. So when it was Michael B. Jordan, I was like, what was he in this year? However, 2020 has had like three movies. So all Michael B. Jordan has done, which they say in his profile, is he's donated to charities. He has been at home, as all the responsible celebrities have been doing. And like sitting at home, donating to charities and being hot is just like peak 2020. So I apologize to Michael B. Jordan for thinking that it wouldn't be him because that's all you have to do in 2020. And he did it. And that's great.
Happy for him.
Each year grows more and more embarrassing that Blake Shelton was named of any year. Anyway, okay. So let's go to some of the people we thought were going to be named the sexiest man of 2020. So got to give a quick shout out to our producer. Kaya, you can jump in if you'd like, but I'm going to say who you thought it was going to be, which is Dr. Fauci or Shawn Mendes.
It's a good one.
Just the spectrum of 2020 runs from Dr. Fauci to Shawn Mendes. Yes.
I really thought I was onto something with Dr. Fauci.
I think that's a good choice.
Yeah. Listen, a man of the moment, you know? Who has had a bigger year?
Totally. I was thinking Chris Cuomo, John King, obviously a big CNN gal.
I thought it was Joey King for a second. I was like, Joey King?
That would be cool. A little switch up. I don't know. She's also
promoting some
year.
Like Kissing Booth 3. I don't know.
Also thought Jason Derulo because he's like all over TikTok. I thought Chance the Rapper maybe. Patrick Mahomes, the athlete, not to flex on my sports knowledge, or Dan Levy, who was in Schitt's Creek, is like big actor this year.
And a lot of these people were in The Issue. So this we actually had a lot of good guesses in terms of who would be included because, like we said, they have a lot of like little sexy participation trophies to hand out.
Yes.
My predictions for the cover, as you know, I'm just too online. And sure. Sometimes I think that the people who are talked about online are the people that the rest of the world is also obsessed with, which actually Michael B. Jordan's just a peak internet boyfriend. So actually, yeah, I do. I think I was on the right track. I thought it would be a Chris. I thought Evans and Pine both had a shot because they both, sure, obviously Chris Evans, very politically active this year. And then Chris Pine has Wonder Woman coming out in Christmas. Mm. So I thought maybe he had a shot. Keanu Reeves was a long shot just because he would never agree to this, I don't think. But true, I think he's overdue. He won a long, long time ago. Yeah. But let's bring it back.
He was also included in the sexiest happily settled guy, which was a people category. So he did get
he got something in there. And then I said Robert Pattinson, who I also don't know if he would be into this. Like seeing Robert Pattinson in 2020 doing like a people shoot just seems like a weird fit. But maybe next year when he's Batman.
Yeah, promoting that.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Let's just give it to Brad Pitt again. 2020 is kind of a throwaway year. So like, just give it to him again. Like,
sure.
He hasn't had it in like, what, 10 years? Give it to him.
I was going
to
say, there are a lot of repeats in that list over time, over the decades. Sure.
Exactly. He's still sexy. And then I also thought Barack Obama, because he has a new book coming out. And also, I was thinking, you know, kind of to rub it in someone's face.
I was literally just thinking that.
You know?
The ultimate middle fingers up to the year 2020 to Donald Trump is like, not only are you the least sexiest man, probably. Right.
Your nemesis is the sexy. I mean, they really messed out on that. And honestly, I'm surprised that none of the 4 years that turd was in the White House, that we didn't get like a fake sexiest man alive from whoever was the press secretary, being like, actually, they tallied the votes and they were wrong and it was actually your president.
Maybe that those tweets are incoming today. It's pretty
fresh.
Let's
hope. Okay.
I agree on Obama. If anyone saw the video of him shooting that three in the gym and then walking away, like that's your submission reel right there.
Right?
Sexiest man FYC.
Exactly. And then also, how pissed do you think Nick Jonas was that he didn't get it? Because they have given it to voice guys. Literally, I calculated it. It's not like, whoa, a huge stat, but it's almost one third of the time. It was 3 out of the last 10 years has gone to a voice guy.
Right. Yeah. It was Adam Levine, Blake Shelton, and John Legend, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So how pissed? Because you know that little turd is thirsty.
Yeah. Nick Jonas definitely wants this. Of all the Jonas brothers, though, I don't know. Not Kevin. But.
Joe Jonas is obviously the front runner in that family. But yeah, I think Nick Jonas fancies himself the sexiest man alive. Yeah. So I'm sure each year he grows more and more angry.
Exactly. Okay,
let's go through some of these, like Kate said, like weird participation trophies. People just kind of comes up with other categories. I honestly love this issue of the magazine. Always have. My mom still gets the hard copy and I comb through this one closely. So what was the weirdest category for you guys? I'm going to list off a couple. There's a lot to choose from. So they started, there's obviously a lot of quarantine stuff, which is like a given. So there was like sexiest content in quarantine. So that includes Tyler C., Jason Derulo, Shawn Mendes, Justin Bieber, and Jake Gyllenhaal. Although I don't know what Gyllenhaal did for us in quarantine.
I don't know either.
You guys have any content that
Didn't he do that? He did the thing where was doing a handstand and he had to put a shirt on.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that when he was in the handstand? That was a shame.
Odd that he was in there.
That's all I got.
Then there was another category that said sexiest guy who entertained us in lockdown, which feels like an identical sentence, just phrased differently. John Krasinski, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Seth Meyers, and Trevor Noah. So I obviously disagree with about one.
That is literally everyone I hate in one group. Except I don't hate Seth Meyers and Trevor Noah. I'm like whatever on, but that's an evil group.
Yeah. And then
that's a
lastly,
trigger for Amelia.
The sexiest happily settled guy. It ultimately went to Ryan Reynolds, which is like, bomb. But Keanu Reeves is in there. Kevin Bacon, Seth Rogen, and Tom Hanks were the other competitors in that category.
My favorite
thing
is that like there are so many categories that like almost all of these men would fit into like three of these categories. Like there's like sexiest international guy, which is just anyone not in the US that didn't fit into the other categories.
Of course.
It's just like, what are we doing here?
Right.
Another dumb category was sexiest zaddy. And they don't even finish the explanation. They don't even finish the definition. They're like, we'll let Merriam-Webster explain that to you. And you're like, you're not even going to give us the definition?
Yeah.
And it could have gone, because they also have a sexiest guy who's been like sexy so long. It could have been that, but they just, they wanted another category for old dudes. And they gave it to friggin' John Stamos, another one of my enemies. And I thought we canceled him. I'm so over this motherfucking Disney bitch. I just don't like him.
I know, Amelia. I feel like all of us came up in the wrong era because there's a very large group of people who really are into John Stamos and we don't fall into that. We're a little too late or something.
Also, he's problematic, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, several of these zaddies are problematic, but we don't need to get into it. There's also a category for sexiest man in a mask, which I kind of thought was going to be like costume masks. And then I was like, no, of course it's
I thought it was medical masks.
Right.
Oh, mask singer.
There were a lot of ways this could have gone, but it's just pictures of men out in the streets in their obviously protective medical masks.
Sure.
Ben Affleck's on here and they didn't use the picture of him smoking underneath his mask, which it just seems like a missed opportunity. And then other than that, you literally can barely tell who these men are because of their masks. So Chris Pine, utterly unrecognizable in a bandana. McDreamy honestly looks terrible. He's got just a lot of wrinkles highlighted by his mask. And I just am like, I just think we could have done better. Also, Jacob Elordi won. And beat Chris Pine, Hugh Jackman, McDreamy, and Ben Affleck. So very confusing. I don't know. Confusing voting base here.
Yes.
Yeah. I think this was voted on like publicly. So who knows what the people at large are feeling.
I just want a quick shout out to guy who has been sexy so long, they should retire his sexy jersey number. That was one of the categories. That was a mouthful.
Yeah.
But Brad Pitt won. So there you go. But we also have George Clooney. Denzel Washington, Idris Elba, and a personal favorite of mine, Robert Redford. I love this category.
Oh, wow.
That is a good one.
Yeah. It's a good one.
The sexy jersey number makes me feel weird, but yeah, I agree. That was good. Okay, let's move on to the next category. Let's do this week in social media / not worth the tea. The start of the pod is a little bit COVID focused. I swear we're going to move on to fun stuff. But this is actually some good news, and it relates to one of our favorites, Dolly Parton. So it turns out that this story is actually kind of like happened back in April that none of us paid attention to. And now because there's all these like really exciting advancements with this COVID vaccine, it's like all up in the news and she's being interviewed all over again. So back in April, Dolly Parton donated $1 million to the Vanderbilt University Medical Center for COVID research. And then that partially funded the biotech firm Moderna, which like is all up in the news these days because they're working on a vaccine. And then now is like, it's more than 95% effective. There's like all this great momentum happening. Mm-hmm. I'm like freaking following this so closely. I'm like so excited. I know it's still a long ways away. But anyway, Dolly Parton was like, very much responsible for at least a small piece of like the research and the funding that went into this like really exciting like vaccine research. And so, yeah, she's being interviewed all over the place. Also, everybody else should have stepped the fuck up. And
right.
Dolly Parton. I don't know why she's like the one celebrity everyone's highlighting. Like maybe no one else did this. I have no idea.
Yeah, I love that Dolly Parton is our like, you know, masked hero among this sort of COVID dilemma. But yeah, I'm like, why did we have to rely on Dolly Parton? You know,
why
is Dolly Parton the government?
I can think of multiple celebrities that could have maybe have donated more than $1 million. I don't know. It's just odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, it has like kind of a nice backstory. So like it's actually started back in 2013. Dolly Parton was in like a very minor car accident and she became friends with this like very renowned physician and like surgery professor. So they over the years have been talking about like current events and science and all this other stuff. And then he was the one that told her that there's like a lot of exciting research happening. And then like he basically was the cause why she donated. So we got to give a lot of credit, equal credit to this guy.
That's great. Yeah. So maybe she like just is the only celebrity that learned specifically about this initiative. Because I know all the vaccines are like privately funded, right? So maybe everyone else just donated their money to the wrong one.
Yeah. Anyway, Dolly Parton, thank you. Jeff Bezos, where are you? And or anybody else, please. But yeah, go Dolly Parton.
Okay. Oh, Dolly, love her.
Next one.
Another tea time fave. We're stepping away from COVID now and stepping towards Harry Styles, as I prefer to do always. Harry Styles was the first man to appear solo on the cover of American Vogue last week. You guys probably saw it. If you follow me on Twitter, you definitely saw it. And he basically was like in the Highlands, just like wearing these Gucci dresses, like frolicking in ruffles. Looked great doing it. It was a great profile. And of course, people just can't appreciate fashion because Candace Owens, who is a right-wing pundit and author, tweeted that Harry wearing a dress was a threat to the concept of masculinity. She said, "There is no society that can survive without strong men. The East knows this. In the West, the steady feminization of our men at the same time that Marxism is being taught to our children is not a coincidence. It is an outright attack. Bring back manly men." So that just created a whole thing. So people obviously, you know, stepped up to defend Harry and defend the magazine and defend men's right to wear whatever the hell they want. And Logan Paul was among the people that stepped up to defend him. Cannot believe I'm about to say a good word about Logan Paul.
I know.
Credit where credit is due. He was on his podcast with his just asshole co-hosts. And they were talking about Harry Styles. And his co-hosts are like, "You can't actually like be okay with this." And Logan Paul, shockingly, very calmly, very steadily, was debating these really kind of like asshole co-hosts about like basically like men's right to wear whatever they want. And, you know, what does being manly mean? And it's being comfortable in your own skin and being comfortable with who you are, regardless of what people think. And his co-hosts in this video are like really gaslighting him and being like, "Why are you getting mad about this?" And
co-hosts.
He's like, "I'm not. Like, I would do this. Like, it's just like a dick thing to think that men can't do this." So it's very weird. A lot of people online were like, "Why am I agreeing with Logan Paul? I truly never thought I would be here." Me either. But my take on this is just like, it's not that deep, you guys. We're not challenging masculinity. We just thought Harry Styles would look hot in a dress. And like, so does Harry Styles. And like, that's it, you know? Right. So
yeah,
it's simply not that deep. And Logan Paul, you did something right for once. Congratulations.
I can't believe it.
Oh my gosh. Next one. Okay, so Twitter unveiled a new little component to its platform called Twitter Fleets. And it's called this because not because they bring out like fleets of cars or anything, but it's like a fleeting moment. So it's essentially Twitter stories. It's Instagram stories, but for Twitter. And it is dumb. I hate it. I used it for the first time yesterday because I was watching.
What'd you put?
Well, I was watching guys' grocery games and I just put a fleeting picture of Guy Fieri, because you can do photos, you can do just like, you know, the words that create tab on Instagram where you can just like type like, "I'm feeling really great today." You can do that. You can do video. It's literally Instagram stories, but it's so dumb and I'm not going to look at other people's like, I don't care. What do you guys think?
Every day I become more and more comfortable in my decision that I just have left Twitter in the fucking dust.
Yeah.
This seems so dumb. Why would, I don't know. There's so many other platforms to do that are like really, I mean, what do I know? Instagram took over the like stories, photos, things, and that became like super popular. So, I mean, I have no idea. But
yeah, I just have to say that I've stayed loyal to Snapchat all this time and all of this stuff originated on Snapchat and then everyone else just stole it.
True.
So sympathy to Snapchat. I do appreciate, I have always liked Twitter better anyway. So I kind of appreciate that I can just like do everything on Twitter now. But yeah, it's definitely a ripoff. It's a ripoff of Instagram who ripped off Snapchat. And it just doesn't seem very fair.
Right. Amelia, as our social media correspondent and like genius, are you going to be using the Twitter fleets for like any tea time content or are we focusing on other efforts? I don't know.
That's actually good. I love that. I didn't even think of that. And yes, thank
Let's
you.
Let's do it. Okay. Let's be hypocritical and do it.
Okay. I like our Instagram stories so much though. I love the polls. I love the you know, moving the, so at least as long as you keep up the Instagram content, not to give you 1,000 times more work, but
no, I just, I don't think I don't think they've ironed out all the kinks because I don't think you can put polls and stuff, or maybe you can. I haven't tried it enough.
True.
It's just, it's janky to me. It doesn't even look good. No offense. Sorry. There's no stickers.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not as good as I thought it would be. I thought it would be like a little like flashier. Like Instagram really improved the Snapchat stories when they stole it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Twitter needed their own spin on it. And it's kind of just like a less interesting Instagram story.
And
it's
they had so much time to
they
do
had
that.
So like, much time.
That's
and Jack
bizarre.
Was just like, okay, yeah.
He was busy. He was busy yachting with Beyonce. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Kill me.
What else is happening in social media?
You know, move over Beans TikTok. Here comes Cartel TikTok. Okay, sorry. Yes, Liz's favorite TikTok is Beans TikTok.
Yep.
Have you guys ever seen that meme where it's like, move over, Xanax, here comes LSD.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I feel like this is, kind of.
Okay.
But, sorry, that was really neither here nor there. But yes, my friend Kelly, shout out to Kelly. I don't think she listens to this podcast, but shout out to her nonetheless, showed me cartel TikTok, which is exactly what you think it is. It's guys who are in the cartel on TikTok. Like, there's this one TikTok and it's like this chase and it has like over like a million views, and they're on this boat, this high speed boat chase, and they're yelling in Spanish and they're like, hola. I'm using my very limited Spanish.
I've actually seen this video.
Have you seen it? And
yes,
they're being chased by like the Coast Guard or something. And they're like, faster. And then it's going really fast. And then there's waves and you can't hear everything because it's just an intense chase. And it's so, I thought there were going to be guns. It was really scary, but really fun.
Amelia, you have to be careful on what corners of the internet you find yourself in, okay?
I just looked this up on Twitter. I looked up cartel TikTok as you were talking about it. And all these people are like, I saw one cartel TikTok video. Now the algorithm thinks that I want to see cartel TikTok.
Guys!
All these people are stuck. Somebody goes, I saw one TikTok about being on cartel TikTok, and now I'm seeing TikToks of cocaine.
Yes!
Some things we just need to leave in their corners of the internet.
I'm surprised that TikTok hasn't banned this. They're pretty hardcore about stuff.
Well, they like take down girls with bikinis and yet.
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, and you see like the drugs piled up and stuff, but you can't really tell that they're drugs. So it's like, oh, what's inside? Well, it's probably drugs, but we don't know for sure. Okay.
Wow.
And then
Amelia,
guns.
You better be careful.
Okay.
Stick to Beans TikTok if you know what's good for you. Okay. Lastly, happening on social media is like everyone is absolutely shitting on the like Rockefeller 30 Rock Christmas tree in New York. And it was like, so I guess it travels from somewhere this time it was like, I think upstate New York. And then it's like, you know, propped up, and then it kind of takes a couple days for it to get all fluffed up, and then they decorate it, and then there's this unveiling like 2 weeks later. Anyway, this tree gets off of the truck and they put it up, and it's literally the most decrepit thing I've ever seen. It has like 3 branches, 4 leaves, and like it's all just dusty. It just looks like so crinkly and bad. And everyone was like, this is it. This is 2020. This is exactly what we deserve. And then like poor 30 Rock, like I think the Twitter had to be like, oh, you guys must look so great after a 2-day drive, huh? Like, just wait till I get my lights on.
Oh, cute. Or
aww,
not.
I like the sad tree.
That's cute. I kind of like that.
I'm rooting for it. It's like the Charlie Brown tree.
You like it because there was that owl hiding inside.
I know,
of it.
There was a little baby owl that they named Rockefeller that hitched a ride.
Cute.
And then when they were decorating it, they found the owl.
That's actually
sweet.
Extremely cute.
That's so sweet.
Maybe there's hope after all.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do more Christmas content. Let's dive right in to cringe mode. The princess switched again.
Wow.
This is fitting for cringe mode.
It is.
Absolutely.
This movie came out today or yesterday, if you're listening, on Friday. And the very first thing on our outline is Liz did not watch the first one. And so she would like us to explain not only the second one, but the first one.
Wait,
first.
I haven't seen the first one either.
You guys.
Really, were you not confused?
Yeah, I was confused. I was like,
first 35 minutes, I was like, nah, I don't know what's happening.
I was like,
here?
Who is Kevin? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even go on Wikipedia, just read a little like.
That was
they
worse.
Switched. They switched, you guys. It was okay. Here we go.
I mean, I knew that, but yeah. Okay, sorry. Yes, go.
I got it. Okay. The first
thanks.
Princess Switch, starring Vanessa Hudgens, was just a building block of the Netflix Christmas canon in 2018. Starred Vanessa Hudgens, Stacy, as a baker from Chicago. She entered a baking competition in the made-up city of Belgravia, where she encountered her princess lookalike, Margaret. This is The Prince and the Pauper, but as a Christmas movie.
Oh.
They switch places because Margaret wants some time off from her royal life. She's about to marry this prince. And Stacy, I don't remember why she wanted to switch. I guess she just wanted to be a princess. So they switch lives. Margaret, the princess, falls in love with Kevin, who's Stacy's baker friend. Stacy falls in love with Princess Edward, who was supposed to marry Margaret. And then they switch back. Stacy ends up marrying Edward. She becomes a princess. That's the Chicago one. And then Margaret is dating Kevin, the small town baker. So that's the first one. Are you with me so far?
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
Hit me. Belgravia is that like a foreign made up country, or yes. is that just like a city outside
here's,
of Chicago?
Here's the confusing thing. It's a foreign made up country, but there are two. So Margaret is actually the Duchess of Montanaro, which is another made up country. Prince Edward is the Prince of Belgravia. So when I started watching this one, I could not remember that. And I was like, why are they related? Like, why are they both? Because the second movie is all about how Margaret is going to be queen of Montanaro. And then when they were introducing the other prince, I was like, why isn't he king? And why isn't the other? But it's two different countries, two different made-up countries. Okay, so 2020, they switch again. In the sequel to the first film, there's a third Vanessa Hudgens that enters the party. Kevin and Margaret have broken up. I'm sorry, this is so long, but it's so complicated.
I'm curious if literally anyone cares. You think any listener is like tuned in right now, like, okay, and then what?
And they're writing it down.
It's actually so complicated. Anyway, there are three Vanessa Hudgenses. Margaret is going to be queen. She doesn't want to be queen. She broke up with Kevin the Baker. She switches back with Stacy to give her some time to get to know Kevin the Baker again, because she's like, I want to hang out with you. I'm sorry I broke up with you. Amid the switch, the third Vanessa Hudgens, who's named Fiona, busts in, and she wants to be coronated so that she can transfer money to herself and then leave. So she's just like, she switches.
Great plan.
She switches with Margaret, but Margaret is actually Stacy, because they'd already
switched. Just let's call it. You're at the end, the switch gets, everybody switches gets back.
It's so confusing. This movie is insane. Everybody switches back. Margaret becomes queen. Fiona probably goes to jail. And Stacy stays with her prince. That's all I got. Okay. That was so long.
You got
it,
you guys? Okay, great. So let's go into our actual categories now. Let's do some highlights. So Kate, just take that one away.
Great. This movie has combined my latest TV interests, which includes The Crown, which I watched this week, The Great British Bake Off, which I've been watching for several months, and really all it needs is, I was waiting for like a rousing chess match to just create, like, combine all three of my interests. But listen, I do want to see a baker like baking in a palace. It's just Bake Off meets The Crown, and so I appreciated that. I really did.
That's great. I like the See You at Christmas song.
Wait, where was that?
I don't know, Amelia. It was in the middle. Okay. What do you want me to say? When they switched.
This is going so well.
And then my second highlight was Kevin, I guess. I don't know. This one is hard.
Oh, God. Oh, Liz, I swear to God, you never watched a Cringe Mode movie. It's fine. my other highlight as a person who watched this movie is at one point Vanessa Hudgens is playing Fiona, who is playing Stacy, who is playing Margaret, but then Fiona doesn't know that she's playing Stacy as Margaret. So then Fiona is actually playing Margaret, but then she has to switch back and forth and be Fiona playing Margaret playing Stacy. And I just want to say, where is Vanessa Hudgens' Oscar?
Okay.
It's a feat of acting. Such that I have never seen. It was okay. She did okay.
Yeah. I can't. Oh my God. Yeah, well, I will say that the accent work, because there is a subtle difference between Maggie, or, well, she called, Fiona calls her Maggie Moo, but Margaret and Fiona, like, Fiona is more of the, like, hello. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because, like, I didn't say anything.
That was actually pretty good.
But it's like, it's not like, it's the posh one is like Margaret. Margaret's like, hello, I'm royalty. And then Fiona is like, oh, hi, I own a flat in London and blah, blah, blah.
You nailed it.
Thank you. So there's that. So there is subtle accent work going on. So I guess she can get her Oscar. But also props to her for not just ruining every take by laughing at the script and the fact that she has to like talk to herself and put on accents. Because
I think she had a great time making this movie.
I'm sure she did.
I think Vanessa Hudgens is just inordinately proud of these films.
I'm sure. I actually do want to talk about the accents, which actually brings us to our next category, the lowlights. I can't really like describe it that well, but there is something about Vanessa Hudgens' British accent in both of those two roles that sounds like when you do it for yourself and you're just like alone in your room for fun. Like it sounds like so bad that you're like, is this good? Like, and it's just not. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if all three of us did a British accent, it would sound like Vanessa Hudgens. This is a Netflix movie. Was there a dialect coach, perhaps? I'll have to look at the credits.
No, it sounds like, you know, like on ABC Family where they have Harry Potter marathons all weekend. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you laid down in the morning and watched Harry Potter all day and then you woke up and said something to your mom. And you just like adopted the accent a little bit.
Yeah, you like tried to like, I can't believe it.
Mother.
And everyone's like, don't do that again. And you're like, well. And they're like, that was Vanessa Hudgens in this movie.
Right. Absolutely. It's pretty bad.
Anyway, what's another lowlight?
A lowlight for me is that if you have a prince in a movie, especially in a low budget, well, this actually kind of seemed to be high budget, but a Christmas movie, the prince has to be hot. It's like the absolute bare minimum thing. The prince in the movie has to be hot, and he is just not. No, like apologies to Prince Edward, but at one point Fiona calls him like six-pack prince, which is just objectively untrue. His face is just not hot, and I just am like, oh, like literally all you had to do was stand there and be hot.
Six-pack prince.
I know that there are a ton of Hallmark actors that would have killed for this role. Yeah. I don't know where they found this guy or why.
He's pretty cardboard, to be completely honest.
He is bringing absolutely nothing to the table. And I just needed, like, bare minimum, you have to have a hot prince in this movie. You just have to.
Yeah. More like concave stomach, you know?
Yeah, that's about how it was. Not great. Dad bod prince.
Oh. Yeah. Also, I know we are a fan of the good old makeover scene in movies. This movie had the lamest makeover scene of all time. They were just sitting in chairs and like pretending to do stuff with her hair and being like, oh my God, your hair is different. And like, let's put on dark lipstick so you're Margaret.
Right. Like, they already look the same. So I don't know what they expected us to look at.
There wasn't any good music. It was just them sitting in chairs and putting on lipstick.
Right. Like, it's not a makeover scene if you're taking someone who looks a certain way and making them look the same way.
Right. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Not great. And then my final lowlight is, if you recall, when we talked about this year's Netflix slate, I mentioned that there was no Christmas Prince 4, which were previous Netflix Christmas movies the past 3 years in a neighboring country called Aldovia. And in the first Princess Switch movie... Vanessa Hudgens watches A Christmas Prince on Netflix.
Wow.
Okay. She and the Prince, Stacy and the Prince, sit down and watch this film on Netflix. It has 4 stars, which if it were me, I would have given it 5 stars if I was promoting my own movie.
Had to be realistic about it.
My own movie in the movie.
Yeah.
So they watch this movie. And at the end of A Princess Switched Again, Vanessa Hudgens is walking down the aisle to be coronated. And they show the crowd and the princess and prince and baby from A Christmas Prince are in the crowd. Which totally ruins all continuity in the extended Netflix Christmas cinematic universe. Because if they watched it on Netflix, how do these people exist in the same universe? She also mentions Aldovia, which is the country in A Christmas Prince. So our options are, one, they just don't care about continuity on Netflix.
That's
two,
it. Ding, ding, ding.
Two, the Christmas Prince movies are documentaries in the world of A Princess Switch.
Wow.
I don't know what the answer is. I think it's probably just that Netflix doesn't care, but...
Yep. That's
well,
it.
I want to know how Vanessa Hudgens' other movie, which I, for some reason, watch. I don't know if you guys did. Was The Night Before Christmas or some other time travel one? I want to see how all of these worlds align because they're fucking
God.
It's like we live in the Matrix in this made up world.
The Vanessa Hudgens Matrix.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's do the Vanessa Hudgens showdown. So we got three Vanessa Hudgens. We got Stacy, Margaret, and Fiona. And Kate has already taken us through some of those characteristics. I won't repeat them because I can't remember. So let's go through each person and I don't know what, kind of deem a winner, maybe?
Yeah, we got to power rank the Vanessas, I think.
Great.
First of all, Stacy. She's the baker from Chicago. Definitely the realest Vanessa Hudgens because she gets to talk in her own accent. She gets to be American. However, Stacy in this movie is the one who comes up with the idea of swapping herself and Margaret again. But she decides not to tell her husband.
That's weird.
Which, first of all, you should tell your husband anything in general. But also, like, if you're playing with the fate of like the United Nations, which she currently is. Like, this is like some Our Relationship shit where her prince could go online and be like, my wife switched with her twin and didn't tell me. And I was talking to the twin and like romancing the twin and it wasn't my wife.
Because there's no harm in telling him, right? Like, what is he? He's not going to foil any plan.
Right. He's not
going to
tell
game.
On you. He's your husband. Yeah. Like, he's definitely a good guy. So I just do not understand that decision. It seems very toxic. In a relationship.
Stacey's definitely like kind of weakest link situation in my opinion.
Pretty boring.
But we can go through the other two to really see if that's true.
Yes.
So Margaret is the royal, right? Or like the other royal.
Well, Stacey also technically a princess now. Please keep up, Elizabeth. Margaret is the duchess who at the end becomes queen of Montanaro.
Yeah, that's what I said,
I can't believe
right?
I know all this. But what I don't get is why she couldn't just hang out with Kevin at the palace instead of swapping places with Stacey again to hang out with Kevin. Like, just go outside. You have a whole palace to hang out with him in.
Right.
Watch a movie.
Or like, shut down the Christmas tree park or wherever they went. Like, I don't whatever that was. Like, you don't need to take life into your own hands. Very passive woman.
It just didn't seem like the swap was necessary for her to just date Kevin, which was what this whole movie was about. But Amelia, give me your thoughts on Margaret.
Well, I know you're going to talk about Vanessa having fun with Fiona, but I would say if she wanted an Oscar, she was gonna get it with Margaret, because she went on all out at the end when she, you know, when she, spoiler alert, married Kevin, and she welled up a little bit. There was some, how long do you think she kept her eyes like really open so she could well up tears? Or do you think she like pinched herself? Or do you think there were like
no, they have eye drops now. That shit's really
okay.
Easy,
so it was just like, okay. Because I was like, wow, Vanessa.
She really went for it. You're right. That
she
was her Oscar bait role. Definitely.
It was. Totally. It was definitely.
Totally. Yeah. I also feel like Margaret as a woman didn't factor in poor Kevin's daughter, which is like this random other side character in this movie.
Poor little girl.
Yeah. Kevin the Baker has a daughter from a previous marriage and she's like a full girl. She's like, I don't know, looks 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And as they're, you know, whatever, they get married, I suppose, at the end, they need to talk more about thrusting this poor girl into the royal spotlight. We've seen what that can do to people, especially women. It's very harmful.
True.
I feel like Margaret, you should have been thinking about that. She's just worried about herself, you know?
A lot of, like, really quick weddings in this franchise. Stacey got married to Prince Edward in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, they're playing fast and loose here.
Yeah, and then Margaret and Kevin get married at the airport. Like, I don't know what we're doing
here. And the priest was like, I have to go on my flight.
I might have missed that part. Okay.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Let's do Fiona, the final one, the, like, fun slash, like, evil, you know, third Vanessa Hudgens.
This is blonde Vanessa Hudgens for the first part of this movie. Really bold, I think, of them to be like, let's add another Vanessa and let's also give her an accent. Just because you could have just had someone American. I guess not in the plot of this movie, but I would have found a way for Vanessa not to have to do another accent.
She was already in leopard print, which, you know, was their like calling card. Like that was what signified, you know, they didn't have to do the
accent. I do think she was okay at this accent, actually. I think the like kind of Cockney accent was a little better. But I think she was having the most fun with this one. She was very like, Amelia's about to say this, but it's big like Cruella de Vil vibes for this villain.
Exactly what she was doing. It was a low budget impression of Glenn Close. She watched it once and was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to emulate
that.
Yeah. And maybe Emily Blunt in The Devil Wears Prada.
That's a good one,
bitchy,
too.
You know?
That's definitely a good one. Yeah, I had some problems with like her random ass language. She calls her, she says cuzzy a lot to refer to her cousin. I don't know. I have some problems, but we can just keep moving. So between Stacey, Margaret, and Fiona, are we all giving it to Fiona?
Sure.
I would say Fiona, Margaret, Stacey in the Vanessa power ranking.
Yeah.
Sure. Agreed. Who is your guys' MVP, Kate?
I got to give it up for the set designers. First of all, they filmed these movies in Romania in real castles. Which is dope. And they go all out in terms of like the Christmas decorations in the palace, on the sets, and like the winter market. And like way more hardcore than other Christmas movies I've seen recently. Like really every single scene has lights and Christmas trees and wreaths and tinsel, which I appreciated. That's what you want in a Christmas movie. Just really over the top decorations.
That's a good one. Amelia, who's your pick?
I noticed that too. It was really like intense.
Like
and
all
beautiful.
Out.
Yeah. I was like, wow. I would say, you know, Netflix for catering to literally everyone. They're just like, you know what? We want an Oscar really bad. So we're going to release, you know, Mank and other movies like that. But also, we want you to laugh at Vanessa Hudgens. So we're going to release The Princess Switched Again. And they're just like here for all of us. And I really appreciate that. Thank you.
It's true.
It's true.
From the big picture to tea time, they give us what we need.
Truly.
I want to give the MVP to Vanessa Hudgens for just securing the bag. She is the top three like build characters. And she also is the producer of this movie.
Wow.
So she's just like raking in cash from this thing. And I honestly respect it. I'm curious to see what her producer involvement was, but she is billed as that. So.
And you know, if anyone was going to donate to COVID relief, she should do it because she had that
moment, that
video, which
okay.
And Vanessa, step up, girlfriend.
Yeah. Donate Fiona's portion of this movie to COVID.
Exactly.
You have three portions. We know you have it.
All right, let's do lightning round before we quit Princess Switched Again. So, what is the best marrying into royalty movie or show, Kate?
It's a genre that I quite enjoy. And the best, my favorite movie in this category is The Prince and Me with Julia Stiles. Oh. Anyone?
Yeah, yes, mm-hmm. Never seen it, but know,
guys,
know about it.
Guys, we should add this to our cringe mode list. It's actually a legitimately good movie. Really good rom-com. Actually has a hot prince, which is huge.
Nice.
Yeah, I just love it. The Prince and Me just created this genre.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if my answer really counts. I said What a Girl Wants, the Amanda Bynes movie. And she doesn't marry into royalty, but it's her family and her mom marries into it. And then she like goes to find her dad and like the dad is royal.
Right,
so that's my pick. Amelia, what's your pick?
That's a good pick. I said I feel like there's probably some good fanfic out there floating around on like one of those Angel Fire websites. Do you guys? You're probably too young to remember that. But circa the early 2000s, you know, when Prince William was still single and had like a full head of hair. You know, when
that one year,
like, oh my God. Yeah, that one year when he was hot, that one, literally 1 year. Yeah,
it'll be like the next season of The Crown. We'll get that content.
I'm into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, next one. How should they incorporate another Vanessa into the next movie? So to be clear, that would be Princess Switched Again, and then Switched Again.
Wow. I think that's the exact title that they'll go with.
That's on the development desk at Netflix right now. So how should they incorporate another Vanessa?
I think they should just keep this bit going. I think next that they should put her in old lady makeup and make her Margaret's mother or grandmother.
That's good.
We may have already met Margaret's mother in the first movie. I don't remember. So maybe like an old grandma queen in a neighboring country or something.
Yeah.
I just feel like we need to like get some prosthetics into this mix, you know?
I like that.
I really like that. That's a good idea. Amelia, what's your pick?
You know, we were talking about how this whole franchise kind of plays fast and loose with literally everything about it. I think we should just give Vanessa Hudgens a Margaret twin sister, like a long lost twin sister. We don't know how they were split up, but they'll figure it out in the last hour. Yeah. And she's now challenging her as the rightful ruler of Montanaro.
Love that.
Really good ideas out of both of you, actually.
Well, thank you.
And I said no comment because I'm not giving Netflix an idea for free. But you guys had, to be honest, you guys just had better ideas.
That's a cop out.
It is. Okay. And then lastly in this category, would you watch another Princess Switch movie?
Sure.
I also said sure.
I might watch the first to get some context clues.
Liz hasn't watched either one thus far, so no.
All right. Let's go on to the next category. Let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Amelia, go ahead.
Thank you.
Coming in strong with this one.
Yes. So, okay. I know this is not, I know we've been
Oh my God,
this.
I just
not,
read it.
I knew you hadn't seen it yet.
This is not a political podcast, but yeah, we've talked about it, blah, 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 blah. Just bear with me for 5 seconds. In an essay for Vanity Fair, Ivanka Trump's ex-best friend, Lysandra Ostrom, claimed in this scathing piece that Ivanka blamed a fart on one of her classmates. And actually the quote is, "One of the earliest memories I have of Ivanka from before we were friends is when she blamed a fart on a classmate," which, wow. I want to know, have you ever blamed a fart on another person?
I have to say, I genuinely don't remember. But if I had, it would be when I was like young and in school.
Right.
And like, that's what boys are there for, to blame shit on. You know?
Sure.
So like, probably. But we live and grow and learn that honesty is the best policy.
Right. And I don't think you would do it today, right?
Right.
Just right. Own up to it.
Yes. I have actually had a fart blamed on me, what? Which was not no. the case. Yes. In 8th grade in French class.
That's this you'll guy, remember that.
That's yeah, pretty fucked up.
He farted and then he was like, oh my God, Liz, and everyone believed him. And you know me now. Imagine me in the 8th grade.
Oh my God.
And I was like, literally died and never came back out. And I just will never forgive him for that. I actually
that's
looked him
so
up on
mean.
Facebook. It is mean, isn't it?
That's
he's like
really
engaged
mean.
Now.
Oh, well, damn, they always are.
I hope he I know. Gets disengaged.
No, I wonder if his
sorry.
Fiance knows that he has blamed a fart on me, Liz you Kelly, should, in the past. Maybe I should write
DM
to her.
Writing in the yeah. DMs being like, I have information that you need to know.
Hey, girly, I know you don't know me, but...
Hey, girly. Right. So, and I just want to say, you know, I was thinking about this the other day because I went down a dark hole of, this is very embarrassing, of like, call her daddy Reddit. Hmm. I don't know why I do this to myself. I hate myself, but... You know, I feel like the Call Her Daddy podcast has probably some kind of rule list, like gluck, gluck, if you fuck, fuck, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, if Tea Time had rules, I think one of our main rules would be always be accountable for your own farts.
I'll add that to our list. We okay. can start.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but yeah, ultimately, I agree.
You know.
Take ownership of your
spiritually,
farts.
Spiritually, sure. I agree.
Thank you.
All right.
I should, okay. Anyway, okay, next question, next question.
My question is, as Amelia intro'd at the beginning, why the fuck isn't Taylor Lautner in the Shark Boy and Lava Girl sequel? Netflix, as we said, catering to everyone, just announced they are bringing back Shark Boy and Lava Girl, the 2005 film that I saw in theaters. I remember it well because my dad walked out and said it was the worst movie he'd ever seen, and I was quite offended as a 9-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And as you know, the first one starred Taylor Lautner as the iconic titular Shark Boy. Mm. And he's not in this new one. It's the same girl. I think it's Taylor Dooley, who I definitely thought was Alexa Vega from Spy Kids until I looked her up and was like, oh, this is someone totally different. And then some rando guy playing Shark Boy. And Twitter was pissed. Twitter was like, I looked at Taylor Lautner's Instagram and it says unemployed. So I don't know why he couldn't show up to be Shark Boy again.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And my question is why, Taylor Lautner? Like, what else do you have going on?
He truly. Must be truly just like taking a step back from acting because this is the easiest, best check. Also, it like, you know, it's like everybody's memories. It's like such an easy role to fill again. It's
right.
not really like that daring or
it's
like
it's 2 weeks in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, and it's not that embarrassing. You're already were Jacob. Like, how
right.
much further can you go? You know?
Right. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think it's a missed opportunity on his part. I really do.
Definitely.
It is for sure. And then lastly, my question is like, you know, we're thinking about cringe mode, thinking about next week. It's Thanksgiving. Why, genuinely, why are there no good Thanksgiving movies? If you look on like Thanksgiving movies on Google, it ranges from Paul Blart Mall Cop to Beethoven. Honestly, good movie, Beethoven. And then it has the pieces of April, Dan in Real Life, like Sweet November. Like, what are these fucking movies? I cannot believe it. The idea of Thanksgiving is the perfect movie, right? Because you have the ensemble cast, you got all the family members. You have like the one inciting incident that like the entire movie revolves around, the dinner. And then it's all the drama. It feels crazy that Aaron Sorkin hasn't like knocked out like a really good, really talky Thanksgiving movie. That's crazy.
You know, on that note, there are a ton of great Thanksgiving TV episodes, though. Mm. There's West Wing, speaking of Aaron Sorkin, Bob's Burgers, Friends, New Girl.
Tons
of great shows have like really great Thanksgiving episodes, but no good Thanksgiving movies. You're right.
Yeah. If you guys have any, if you like any Thanksgiving movies, just let us know. Maybe we'll cover it next week. We don't really have a plan. That reminds me. Can I talk about what we're doing next week? Amelia?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. If you've made it this far, I don't know why I announced this at minute 50, but we're doing a mailbag next week. So I plugged our social media at the top, but it's at Tea Time Pod on Instagram and then at @teatime_33 on Twitter. Send us your questions. They could be holiday related. I'll try to find my childhood diary. Maybe I'll do another reading.
Bring it back.
But yeah, send us your questions, please. And we'll be answering them next week.
Lovely.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.